I sure did. Because we serve an awesome God. And every day he gives us is a great day of expectation. If you're in person and you're here in service and it's your first time, we have a connection card we'd like you to fill out. They're out at the kiosk. If you'd fill that out and turn it in, we have a small gift of appreciation, just a few points of information so we can connect with you. And if you're watching online, there's also a link there that you can just click on and fill out those same few points of information. We'd love to connect with you, get to know you a little bit more. I mean, we got some exciting things coming up. At this time, we want to talk about our ladies glam fire. And they got a promo video for that.
Attention all ladies. October 17th, 2020 at 6:30, we are having a ladies glam fire. Please join us. There will be lots of food, singing, speaking, and just a great time of fellowship. Thank you so much.
I mean, so make sure you, ladies, if you're able to come to that, it's going to be a great time of fellowship and refreshing. Amen. At this time, we want to go through our giving options. Amen. If you're here in person, you're able to give out in the kiosk at the offering box there. Otherwise, you can go online at cgcmadison.org/giving and give online. Or you can send in through the mail at 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or you can also text to give, whether it be tithes, offerings, or missions. Any special speaker, please put that in the text as well. Amen. Sister Jessica, we good? Okay. Well, we are going to have an upcoming Holy Ghost crusade coming soon. On November 1st, I believe, or October 25th. But either way, come and be a part. We're going to have a great time in Jesus. God is going to move. The Holy Ghost is going to fall. Lives are going to be filled and transformed. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for the service this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that we can gather together in your house, God. Thank you for all that you're going to do and have in store, God. You are our God. There's no God like you, God. There's no one higher than you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you're going to do. Be with Pastor as he preaches this morning. Be with the praise and worship team. God, thank you that we can gather together in your house, lift you up and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, praise your name. Praise God. I'm so glad this morning that I serve the God. When Paul stood on Mars Hill, that day, said to the unknown God, I want to introduce you to him. He's all around us. He's in the air we breathe. He's just not an unknown God. He is the God. If you don't know him this morning, yes, he can be unknown. But he is the God of creation. And he is here. Can you feel his beautiful presence, his spirit? It is so great to have. We have some special guests with us this morning. You could be seated for a few moments. It's so great to have Sister Ann Thompson and Sister Skasha Thompson here with us. We have an Adams Friendship. I say we. There's a Man Up adventure this weekend, and a number of our men are there, and that's what is allowing Sister Ann and Sister Skasha to be here. And Brother Nathan Thompson and Brother Galen Thompson are the founders of Man Up Adventures. It's an incredible, wives, if you want to send your husband or your teenage sons on an incredible spiritual adventure. They also have one for ladies called Heartworks, and some of our ladies have been on that, and it's an incredible adventure as well. So, but Nathan will be speaking here Wednesday evening. So we're excited to have them in town. And also our Holy Ghost Sunday, a little confusion. Brother and Sister Vernon, Vicki and Ben Vernon, they kind of had a double booking. They had some cancellations and such with all of their, with all this COVID mess and such going on. It's been a very difficult summer for them as far as scheduling goes. So we changed the date here. Because they had a double booking, and we're going to have our Holy Ghost Sunday on November 1st. So we're excited about that. I believe that God is still God. And if you have not received the Holy Ghost and you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it this morning. But we have a special Sunday on November 1st, so we're excited about that. And then also, it is Pastor Appreciation Month in October, and I very much appreciate the generous gift that we received. We received a gift card for Bruce Company. As many of you know, I have had a hole in my backyard for 4 or 5 years. That hole is now full of water and rocks, has fish swimming in it, and it's in desperate need of some planting. So my wife and I are going to go over in the spring when Bruce Company opens up for the spring, and we're going to use that to add a little landscaping around our pond. We'll show you some pictures when we get there. How's that? So, but along with this, I'm not the only pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church, and there's no way that everything that we do here would be able to do this, or my wife and I would be able to do this. And I am so appreciative this morning to have. We're going to honor Brother and Sister Seidel. Brother John Seidel is our executive pastor, and he oversees so many of the day-to-day areas of Calvary Gospel Church. And I am so appreciative to have Brother John and Sister Terry working with my wife and I, directly with us. And I'd just like for them to come this morning, if they would. And we love and appreciate this couple. They have been part of Calvary Gospel Church for 35 years plus, I believe. And but love you guys. Appreciate you. And I don't know if they want to say anything. He's like, no, no. Oh, boy. We have been working our way through a series. We spoke on last Sunday morning. We're talking about increasing our spiritual capacity for revival. Not just revival as a church, but revival as an individual. And I believe that God is desiring for his church. We talk about getting the Holy Ghost. We talk about that initial experience of salvation. And getting the Holy Ghost is just the beginning of your journey. It's not the end of your journey. It's the beginning of your spiritual journey. Perhaps God has brought you here and you're not understanding all of this, and maybe you've not received the Holy Ghost, or maybe you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe you haven't even repented of your sin. But God is using things in your life, and God has brought you here because he desires to increase your capacity. Now, when I use the word capacity, we can say increase your ability, increase your knowledge, because capacity can be a number of different things. Capacity, when I look at capacity, I'm looking at also qualities that God is looking for in his church. God I talked to a pastor this morning on just texting back and forth, and we were talking about the Sunday messages and what are you speaking and preaching and about praying for each other. And I believe that the day that we live in today, God is desiring for his church to increase its capacity for revival. If we don't increase our capacity for revival, if we don't increase our ability or our knowledge for personal revival, we will not go anywhere in God. I believe that as Jesus began to taught, we covered some of this last week with Peter not understanding when Jesus told him to throw his net on the other side of the boat, that it was a level of knowledge that was emplaced or instilled in Peter's mind and in his heart that gave him the ability or the capacity or the confidence to listen to what Jesus was telling him to do. So we want to read this morning from our scripture, our passage for this series. It's found in Ecclesiastes 5:19, reading from the Message. After looking at the way things are on this earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. Take care of yourself, have a good time, and make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we could make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it, accepting what's given and delighting in the work. It's God's gift. God deals out joy in the present, the now. It's useless to brood over how long we might live. You ever get all caught up as you get older, wondering how long you're going to actually be on this planet? I was thinking of this yesterday. I was looking at some of the projects I've been working on around my house, and I'm like, well, this product has a 25-year warranty. How old will I be in 25 years? And I thought, you know, for some reason, I'm not too worried about this warranty because I don't feel I'm going to be here in 25 years. I think I'm going to be in heaven. I want to be in heaven. Has the mask inhibited your ability to say, yes, I want to be in heaven? How many of you want to be in heaven? Because I'm assuming if you don't want to be in heaven, you want to be here on earth, or you want to be in hell. Because you don't have much of a choice. It's either heaven or hell, right? Okay. Also reading from Isaiah 54:2, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. According to Strong's Concordance, And the Hebrew dictionary, the word here, enlarge, means to grow large, to go beyond, to make more room, to increase capacity, to break out, to break through, to expand, go further, occupy new territories. This is a conversation I had this morning, occupying new territories. Do you know that we cannot occupy new territory without having a fight? Do you ever get tired of fighting the devil? If you're not fighting the devil, it means that you're not doing anything because you're not any resistance. He's not wasting any of his resistance on you. The only time we start fighting the devil is when we are in conflict with his territory. Understand that we are warring against flesh and blood and spirits and powers. So occupy new territory. No limits, no boundaries. Thinking big. I use this statement in this series, go big or go home. We need to enlarge our tent, our reach, our capacity for success. It's not something that's just an option or a suggestion in the Word of God. It is a scriptural command. And each of us knows that when we obey God, follow after his principles, that amazing opportunities and blessings begin to open up unto us. As we reflect today as to where we are in life and what we feel led to do and accomplish, we need to believe that God will, can, desires to expand, enlarge our horizons. And as the world around us, it is slowly sinking into the abyss of fear. It's sinking into the abyss of panic. And as a church, we need to live our lives with confidence. And we need to have confidence in Jesus Christ. We need to lead those around us. And when I say lead, that's exactly what I mean. Jesus, we are not called out, are we not called out, excuse me, by Jesus Christ himself to lead others to him? Did he not tell us to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel? He wasn't just talking to a group of pastors at a pastoral retreat. He was talking to his church. He was talking to you and to me. It doesn't matter if you have a local license or general or ordained or what your status is. His command is to go ye therefore into all the world and teach this gospel, to lead others to him. And Jesus Christ is our perfect example, as he was a perfect leader. And as a church in these trying, perilous times, we need not quiver in fear, but be confident in our God. I don't know about you, but my God still is a God that created the heavens and the earth. I don't know how you feel today, but my God has not lost a battle. He didn't die on Calvary and placed in a borrowed tomb and stay there. I serve a risen God. I serve a powerful God. And I believe that as we get deeper into this mess on this earth, that we as a church, sometimes we have to be careful because we can allow our confidence in God to wane. We can allow our confidence in God to begin to wither away. And we're going to cover this in more detail next Sunday. We're going to talk about God confidence. How many of you are still confident? Of course, you're not going to raise your hand if you're not. So behind your mask, you can go ahead and hide this morning just a little bit. Some of us have lost our confidence that God can do what God says he's going to do. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because of how you act, how we act, how we approach God. We'll talk about some of this next week. No one wants to follow after someone who's always uncertain and always unsure. There will be times that we may feel this way yes, there are times that I believe that it's natural in our humanity, in our flesh. It is natural that there are times that we can feel unsure of things, but it shouldn't be who we are all the time. If there was one thing that we can say about Jesus Christ is he knew. He knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. He knew what his purpose was. This morning, I want to ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what your purpose is? His confidence inspired others around him to follow after him. How could he just walk along a beach and talk to a group of nondescript men and say, throw down your nets and follow after me? There was something about Jesus. You see, when we read on the Sermon on the Mount, you look at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29, referencing this only, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why were they amazed at his teaching? Because he taught as one who had authority. The world today, Brother Ben Smith, is crying out for leaders. Crying out. He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Just imagine for a moment sitting there with the crowds that day as Jesus began to preach and teach at the Sermon on the Mount. One of the disciples perhaps scanning the crowd, and you can feel the confidence as it just flows out of Jesus. You've been around him enough to know a little bit about him, and you can hear the people whispering to themselves as he's teaching, and they're talking about the authority that he has. They've never heard such power and such authority. He knows what he's talking about because it comes out of his voice, out of his being. He seems like the type of person that I could trust and I could follow after. I've never heard any teaching. They were amazed. And in Matthew 8, 1, when Jesus came down from that mountainside, what happened to the crowd? They followed after him. You see, a confident Christian is one who is going to get people's attention. Now understand something this morning. Confidence is not arrogance. There's a vast difference. We look at a lot of sports people today, and they seem to be very confident, but they come across as arrogant. It's all about me as they beat their chest. You see, confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is not being cocky. As a Christian, we should always be ready and willing to step up and step in and to lead. This is why our country is so divided, and this is why the Antichrist is going to be able to set up his kingdom on this earth with ease, is because people are willing to follow after anyone who seems to have authority. You see, this is where we come in, church. This is where people are starving to follow after someone that they can trust. People are looking for that confidence. That's why when you go to your workplace, you need to exuberate. Confidence needs to flow out of you. Confidence in God. Confidence in Jesus Christ, in your neighborhoods, in your workplace, in your families. As we spoke last Sunday, the widow's jars of oil kept filling until she ran out of jars. And it was only after she ran out of jars that the capacity for her miracle began to stop or stopped. Peter fished all night. And you look at these two stories, and there's basically two words that kind of tie these stories together. And those two words could be trust and confidence, because they both trusted the words that were spoken unto them, the widow trusted the words of Elisha when he said, bring in as many vessels as you can and begin to take the little amount that you have and begin to pour it out into all of those vessels so you could fill up all of those vessels, but keep bringing them in. It doesn't stop. Just keep bringing them. And then Peter, when Jesus said, Peter, I know you fished all night. I know you're frustrated. I know you want to go home. I know you want to go to breakfast. I know Perkins is waiting. How many of you were in our meeting before service? Bacon was waiting at Perkins. That was a challenge today for me to say bacon in our message. So bacon. How many of you had bacon this morning? Yeah? How many of you are going to have bacon before the end of today? All right. Bacon is God's food. It's. I'm off on a tangent here. I didn't have breakfast. I had a couple peanut butter crackers. Should have had some bacon. So here, Peter, he's all frustrated. Jesus says, just listen to me, Peter. Each one of us, we need to be confident in the day that we live, and we're talking about personal revival in our own lives and in our church. Each one of us stepping up in God, stepping up now. Listen, church, God just laid this on my heart so strong, saying, listen, church, Pastor Roy, you don't have later. Later is here. The last days we've been talking about our whole entire lives and the last days that our elders before us have been talking about, the things that we have heard since I was a small boy, that time is here. It's now. It's right here. We're living it every day. Perilous times are going to come. And God is saying, church, you don't have later. This is the last days. Step up. Step up. Get it in you. Expand your capacity to accept more, because there's so much more that's coming. Bruce Wilkerson wrote a book a number of years ago. I remember it's probably 20 years ago now. Titled The Prayer of Jabez. I don't know how many of you have read that book or bought the book. It was a big seller, and people all over were buying it and were reading The Prayer of Jabez. And he also wrote a book that was, I felt, very as equal, called Secrets of the Vine. But nevertheless, it was a big seller. People bought it. People began to pray it. But like so many other books we buy, after a while, we grow tired, we grow weary. We put it on the shelf and we stop praying. But 1 Chronicles chapter 4:10 and the Amplified says, Jabez cried, prayed to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt me. And God granted his request. Have you ever asked God to increase your borders? Have you ever asked God to increase your capacity to grow in him? You see, salvation was the starting point, but there's so much more that God desires for his church to know and understand. So have we ever asked God to increase our borders? If you ask for a greater blessing to flow out of you, and understand, God doesn't just bless us so we can keep it inside of us. He blesses us so it can flow out of us. It can flow through us. Maybe God desires to bless you with a great ministry, but because you're stingy in things in your life, he can't bless you because it won't flow. Whatever flows in, flow. That's the difference between a swamp and a river. You see, a swamp, everything flows in, nothing flows out. It becomes stagnant, becomes stench. But a river, things flow in, flow out. So the number one thing that we have to do if we want God to increase our capacity here this morning is we actually have to ask God to increase our capacity. I'd like to believe that most of us have. However, the real question is, do you ask in faith, believing? Has your confidence waned in all of this pandemic? Are you? God says, I don't want you to waver, or I don't want you to doubt me. I've known too many Christians whose faith comes in just sudden bursts. We live this way, Brother Ben, from sudden bursts to sudden bursts, from camp meeting to camp meeting, from revival to revival. God said, listen, church, I want you to live this way every day. I want you to have faith and believe in me every day, not just from Sunday to Sunday. Our backs get against the wall. And because we don't see a way out of this mess, we begin to doubt. Sometimes we just serve God when it's convenient. When we ask God, we've got to know that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. We have to charge out of our comfort zone by challenging the way things are. What I hate most about right now is our world is stuck right here and right now. We live in a world that's stuck. We're being reprogrammed. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we like it or not, but society is being reprogrammed as to how and what to think. And pressure is being placed upon society to conform like never before. I talked to a brother who was at a restaurant this past week, and he didn't have his mask on, and someone confronted the management of the restaurant, was upset, ended up leaving the restaurant because they didn't have a mask on. That is pressure to conform like we have never had. You say, well, it's just a mask. Yes, it's just a mask. But what will be next? This is where we live in, church. Listen, we have to start to stretch our thinking in God like we've never stretched our thinking in God before. We have to do something that we've never done. We have to enlarge our capacity for increase by believing something that we previously felt was impossible. All of the things that God has told and all the things that God has promised. Like Abraham, do we believe God can do this? Do we, church? Do we believe God can do this? Can I get a big amen? Do we still believe God can do what God has said He can do? Can we believe like Abraham, who left what was so familiar to him and left only because a God he had never met, didn't know, calls him out on a journey to a place he had no idea where he was going, and God is calling his church today. He's calling us as a body to say, church, I want you to go into the unfamiliar. I want you to do things that are unfamiliar. I want you to trust me and have confidence in me at a level you've never had. Imagine Noah. Look at Noah. Noah had never seen rain before. Never. And yet he went out and he built an ark. And by that same ark, he saved his family, but the world was condemned. We look at the centurion who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I understand. I'm a man of authority, and I see authority in you. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be made whole. And we have David. We all like to talk about confronting our giants, but we don't want to pick up that little stone and go and charge into battle against a battle-worn, battle-hardened giant full of armor from his head to his toe. But you see, God is going to enlarge our borders. And if God is going to enlarge Calvary Gospel Church's borders, then we have to leave our comfort zones and the predictable lives that we are now living. Why is that? So he can increase our capacity to believe and receive beyond our previous expectations. The widow stepped out when nothing made sense. I have but one little cup of oil. Bring in barrels. Can you imagine as she began to fill those barrels of oil with her one little cup? And she began to fill barrel after barrel after barrel. But you see, she stepped out. Why? Because she was able to put on her spiritual glasses. Her vision changed. We must stop looking at life, church, through our rearview mirror at what's happened or didn't happen in our past. Our future is in front of us, and we need to allow the Word of God to be the glasses from which we view our capacity for success. We need to see the world before us through the promises in the Word of God. We need to increase our capacity for success. We need to allow those blessings to flow. We need to have 2020 vision. I love 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." To believe the Lord our God, to see things as he sees them, we need to take a moment to allow a statement like this. We just hear it over and over and over again. But does it sink in to the level in which we actually begin to believe it and act on it? You see, I don't know about you, but my God is a limitless God. He's a limitless God. He's a limitless God. When our thoughts line up with his thoughts, as they should, because we're his children. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, in the Amplified, it says, "For who has known or understood the mind of the Lord as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of the Messiah within us and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Let the word spoken by Christ have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you, all of its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another. This is talking about increasing, helping each other to increase our capacity in Christ. In all insight and intelligence and wisdom, in spiritual things, and as you worship, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. Now that's how we expand our capacity for success. And that's how we allow his blessings to begin to flow. But what begins to happen so many times is over the years we've heard our bishop use this phrase. Talk with Bishop last night. He sends his greetings to all of you. He says, "I miss terribly." He has some tests he has to have done, and he's supposed to quarantine and all this stuff. And he called me, and he's like, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You make up your mind on that." But he says, "I just miss coming to church." How many of you ever heard him use that word, that little phrase he calls stinking thinking? Stinking thinking? We've heard Bishop use that. You see, Sometimes we allow negative conversations to adversely affect our capacity for increase. We can never be motivated. This is a little bit of life lesson right here, okay? We can never be motivated by those who aren't motivated. We can never share dreams with those who aren't dreamers. We can't talk about achieving our goals with those people who have never done anything. We live in a world today where you can go on YouTube and you can go on blogs and you can follow after people that are experts at telling you how to do things that have never done anything because their whole life is nothing but a cut and paste. I've never done this, but I've read this, and I can go on my blog and I can tell other people how to do it. And I can make millions. Listen, I want to follow after someone who's done something. That's why I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If we desire to increase our capacity, we need to make sure that we hang out with folks who can help us fill that capacity with the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God. People who will cause us to stretch our thinking while we expand our borders. 1 Corinthians 5:33 says, "Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, evil communion or associations, corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and character." So positive relationships in your life will dramatically increase your capacity for success in spiritual and non-spiritual parts of your life. Make it your business to learn from people who's been or who are at where you want to go. Follow after the right people. If you're looking for someone to mentor you, I have young people all the time. You know, I'm looking for someone to mentor me. Don't pick them because you both like football or because you both have an interest in fishing, hunting, or cars. Don't pick them because they're going to tell you what you think you always want to hear, or pick them because you have similar interests. Some of the greatest mentors in my life, I have very little to nothing in common with. But you see, I've selected them because I want them to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And selecting a mentor, here's just three simple things. I'm getting ready to close. Three simple things in selecting a mentor. First, does your mentor have proper spiritual insight to train you? Second, has your mentor actually experienced the advice that they're giving you? These are very important things. If you're going to follow after someone, you better make sure that they're smart enough spiritually to train you as to where you're going. And you better make sure that the advice that they're giving you, they've actually lived it and experienced themselves. And third, does your mentor have a successful track record in the area in which they're advising you? I don't know that I would want to take advice. I remember in my life, there was a time where I had an individual that spoke into my life, and whether it was good, bad, and ugly, most of it was bad and ugly, but trying to tell me once on how to manage my wife and be the right husband for the household when they were going through a separation. And I thought, how is this even possible that I'm willing to listen to somebody that doesn't even know how to keep their own marriage together? But you see, that's the world we live in. I know Dr. Phil on TV. He's been on TV for years. I don't think I could take marriage advice from Dr. Phil because I don't think his marriage was very successful either. You see, I want to take advice from people that are successful in their areas. Advice, whether it's marketplace or whether it's ministry. You see, Proverbs 15:22 in the NLT says, "Plans can go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. And as we stand this morning, no one can limit or restrict your capacity for success unless you allow them to do so. You see, church, if you're going to enlarge your tent and the place of your surroundings, your ministry, we need to make conscious decisions to move beyond any past limitations. The sudden burst of faith that will take you beyond all previous points of past you see, it's breakthrough. It's your breakthrough is what defines you as a person. It's when we break through in life, when we break through those hard moments, battles that we have been fighting. Some of you have been fighting battles, monumental battles. It's the breakthroughs that define you. But understand, nobody else but you can make that decision to move beyond the boundaries of complacency, social pressures, or attacks of the enemy that the enemy has attacked you with. Listen, your capacity for success is direct proportions with the blessing flow that God desires to bring into your life. God desires to do so much more in all of this. We can look at the world today and say, what a mess. Or we can look at the world today and say, what an opportunity. And I want to look at the world today and say, what an opportunity. But in order for me to experience what the world, God wants to use me, how he wants to use me in all of this, I have to be able to be willing to allow myself to grow. My personal capacity has to be enlarged. If we're going to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of coming to Christ, then it's going to take a whole lot more of me, and it's going to take a whole lot more of you. And God is challenging us today. Sometimes you preach a message and you just feel like you just laid an egg, but listen, God desires for us to grow. And the only thing holding us back is us placing our own limitations. I want to expand my capacity for success. I want to take any limitations that I've placed on God. We can place sometimes. We can say, God, I'll do anything, but I'm not going to do that. Ever had that conversation with God? God, I'll go anywhere, but I won't go there. I'll talk to anybody, but I'm not going to talk to them. God is saying, listen, we've got to take those limitations off. God wants to enlarge my border. And he wants me to be able to think in a limitless capacity. So this morning, as our praise team begins to sing, as we open up this altar, perhaps you've never began your journey with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never repented. You've never been baptized. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Sin limits us. I want to open up this front area if you're comfortable with coming up front and praying. Pray with you. You don't have to walk out here the same way you came in. Maybe you need a healing this morning. Maybe you're tired of fighting those same battles. There are ministers and elders that are here. Let's begin to just pray. Thank you for coming out today. We had our first Sunday school back today, so we're excited about that. And we appreciate our Sunday school team. I appreciate all of our team here. But before we leave, Brother Daniel Banks is down here this morning. His wife has been fighting a very serious lung infection, and she was in the hospital, and it's not COVID-related, but they sent her home and she's on a respirator. I'd just like to, just before Brother Dan, if I could just have a few brothers just gather around, and if you're not comfortable gathering around, you don't have to, but I'll leave that up to you. But I think sometimes we use things as excuses. But let's just pray. His wife's name's Erin. Erin Banks. Many of you have seen her before here. But let's just pray. Lord, I pray right now, God, for my sister Erin, who's battling this lung infection, that's home on a respirator right now. God, I pray, God, that your power, your healing touch boldly goes, enters right into that room where she's at home, God. And I pray, God, that it would begin to just wrap around her, God. Touch my brother, God, who's been struggling, dealing with multiple jobs, trying to keep all of this afloat, God. God, give him the strength. God, give him the wisdom, the courage. Continue, God. Lord, so much of what we do is a spiritual battle. I pray, God, you would give him the strength, God, to be diligent, to stay strong. Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you, God, for putting us all together, bringing us together, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This morning we had all over Wisconsin and Illinois and Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Minnesota guests that have joined us online today. So to all of you that have joined us, it's been great to have you here worshiping with us. Love you all. Appreciate you all. It has been an incredibly beautiful week. Didn't we have a beautiful week? Yes. The leaves are turning. Many areas they've already peaked, but enjoy the rest of today. Fellowship. Love you all. God bless you all. We'll be back here Wednesday evening with our Brother Nathan Thompson. We have our 1 o'clock VOSIS service today. 5 o'clock African International. God bless you all. We will see you a bit later.